Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inka live coming to you straight from my studio. And I'd like to say Habari Ghani, happy National History Month, Black National History Month. And I thank you all for joining us and going on this journey with us as we explore our heritage and our culture. We'd like to thank you so very much for being a part of our series on looking at law students, preferably women law students, looking at the differentiation and looking at any partialities that might be shown to women in law school. We're looking at how do they fare in the law schools? What about the preparation for the LSAT? Are they given the opportunity for review? And are they treated fairly in the profession? Are they pretty much mainstreamed into certain specialty areas? Now, we've been talking to quite a few of those students, as well as to the college professors, about what they can do about making it more user-friendly for college students, such as females, who are in the profession. And we are scheduled to have a guest this evening, and I hope she will be able to join us, and that is Christina T. Wilson. She is also a law student, and if she does join us this evening, that would be great. If not, we'll go right on with our program, and we are going to take a short station identification to do a little house cleaning and to get prepared for our Black History Month program. We do have a program, irregardless of our guests show up or not. We go right ahead with our program. And as you know, by this being Black History Month, I'm capable of carrying on the show and carrying out our previous plans for what we had planned to do for Black History Month. Now, you know, we're embarking upon the end of our Black History Month. We have approximately about two more days after this, and then we'll bring this to a close. But I hope you're not shutting down shop. I hope you're going to continue to carry over right into the month of March, where women are going to be celebrating. And boy, do we have a treat for you for our women's celebration. You know, we have been talking about how we do things in duality around here. We are going to bring on our males right alongside of our women and show you that we understand that things for Africans are done in duality. And we are going to bring on some of the best that's out there. And we are also encouraging you to get a plan, man, and ask the women to help you carry it out. They're available, and they want a man with a plan. I mean, most women are not just looking for some slick-back head man that have on all the Dutsons and the doodads and the chains and the saggy pants and have no plan. Most women are to be asking a man, man, do you have a plan? Man, what's your plan? And whatever that man looks like, as long as he's clean and capable of keeping himself up, if he has a plan, lady, you accept that plan and let that man regurgitate to you what it is he wants to do, and you follow him along to carry out that plan if it's doable. Now, we're going to have some fantastic people joining us a little bit later this month who have some fantastic plans, and they've carried them out. And they're a raving model example of what duality should look like. Now, let me say this. During the month of March, we are going to find some of the outspoken women to come into this room to talk about what plans we as black women have for our families. Now, as you know, this is a family-oriented show, so we ought to be talking about plans for the family. Now, stay tuned. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere, and I know you have a plan because you are a winner. Stay tuned.
Y'all ready?
Like to recite their plan first. Are you out there, men? We want you to lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. Go ahead, little G. Just keep it right there. Keep it right there because we want those little guys with a big head full of wisdom to come on in this house and talk about how we can help women to rise to the level of occasion. And that's what it's all about. We're talking about allowing women to come in this room who are trying to press their way through. Omi knows something about that because all year long I have been pressing my way through to finish these 18 credit hours so that I could go on and get my endorsement. And I've done that this semester. The 15 credit hours are completed. I was given 3 credit hours for the courses I had already taken. So I pressed my way through. I don't need any more PhD or any of that. I just want the endorsement. And with that, I plan to build my own institution. And you ought to talk about building your own institution. Now, these women that I've been interviewing, I hope they're just not going back into status quo, into the circular system of warehousing themselves out. I hope they're planning on building their own institution. And as you know, we talk about building our own institution. And that's what this is all about, having a pedagogy of philosophy, building your own institution, and developing something that your community can benefit from. There's no way I'm bringing women in here to talk about themselves and to glory and to rally around themselves without realizing they have a commitment to go back to their community to offer their services to the lower socioeconomic area. That's right. We're building an alliance with women across the nation so if they have goods and services, they could come back and share them with the community. Omi is a prime believer that no matter how far off I go to the international arena of other countries, I am still obligated to come back to the hood and bring something back of substance so that I can help circulate that dollar in that community and hear that dollar holler more than once. And if you are so narrow-minded that you think you're going to get your degree just for yourself so that you and your immediate family can prosper, contrary, my friend, that degree doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the community. So I bring this credential back to my community, and I offer up the services on a daily basis of whatever I can give back free of charge because where it's been freely given, I must freely give it back to the community. And every day I get on these airways, giving the very best that I have. I'm giving you the best that I've got. Like Anita Baker said, I'm giving you the best that I've got. Every day we ought to be giving the best that we have because we are responsible for our community, for developing our communities. And that's why Project 2019 was to pull every African-American up by the bootstrap to give them an extra tug and help them find their way back to higher level education and advance themselves. You don't necessarily have to be a lawyer or in law school. You just have to be on a path, going somewhere, getting some education, advancing your standards, helping yourself to a second helping. Now, there used to be a program called Second Helping in the area of child care. Now, our next big venture is going to be working on making every woman a child care provider who wants to work from their home. Now, that's what OMI's specialty is, going around the world to help women who are in the child care profession become providers of their own home. And even if they have to start off with 4, 5 children, they can start their family child care in their home. I was responsible for institutionalizing those women to help endorse them, evaluating them and assessing them to make them CDA credentialed so that the state could come in and stamp their approval on those women and allowing them to run their own institutions from their home. Now, we're going to get into that in our next semester, and we're going to bring courses in that you can take, that you can become credentialed and have a pedagogical philosophy. There's no sense in us talking about we're out of work and can't find work. We simply must create jobs for ourselves and our own community. We must create ritual like we're about to do now. And ritual will create jobs and celebrations in our community. But we must first have ritual, people. You cannot have jobs without having annual rituals and celebration, because out of the celebration comes your apparel, your dress wear, your occasion for food, your routine rituals. Out of your celebration comes a need to market and to advertise and to sell your wares, not just during Kwanzaa, but throughout the year. Now, if you're not online looking at opportunities to sell your wares, preferably if you are a person that creates homemade items, I want you to understand that during the month of March, we will be talking about those of you who can create from your own substance and find a way to market yourself on these airways so that you can begin to start to recirculating a dollar in your community. First, we're going to create celebration. And I am going to tell you that Kwanzaa is not just to be celebrated during the month of January, February. It's going to be celebrated as an annual activity throughout the year. You must create celebration. In Europe, they create holiday on a monthly basis. Therefore, they're selling their paraphernalia and their wares and goods, and they're keeping dollars circulating in their community. African American, we're a $4 billion purchasing power. That means we're spending our dollars and cents somewhere. Why aren't we spending it in our own community? That is the question. The question here today is to be or not to be African. And if we are to be African, we will spend our dollars and cents in our community for holiday. And we will buy from ourselves. We'll buy our own personalized garments. We'll buy our own apparel. You don't go out and spend every dime you have on somebody else's apparel. Circulate the dollar in your own community. Wear your own dress, wear your own headdress, your own shoes, things that are made by you, by a black woman for a black woman. Create those things. I don't know how many of you are seamstress or how many of you are textile-oriented, but we ought to get textile-oriented. Every sheet in your house to be made by someone of African descent. It doesn't take very much to sew the edges around a sheet and to create that. Nor does it take very much effort to create the quilt, which you can hand design with your initials on it. OMI was a seamstress for many years. Everything I wore, I used to make. I stayed behind the sewing machine quite a bit, but every time I stepped out, I was dressed to a T with my name tags and my clothes, modeling my clothes, getting awards for what I wore. It got to a point where I felt like I was being left out, and I was told that I need to go shopping more. So I put down the sewing machine, and I put it down for almost a century. But guess what? Your homie's going to pick that sewing machine back up and show other women how you can make a dollar from your sewing machine and recreate yourself and recreate the customs and traditions of your community. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get on the topic, and the topic today is how are women preparing for law school, and what is happening when they go to law school, when they get ready to prepare for the LSAT. Well, we talked a little bit about that, but we want to talk more about what's happening to our women. Do they understand that there's a war going on? And I've been trying to make most of the women understand that come in this room that it's not all about you coming in thinking the system does not need overhauling. You've got to have a jaundiced eye to be able to see through the madness and see the partiality and the biases and prejudice that exist in our arena of our judicial system. Yes, it's there. Whether they want to believe it or not, in order to enroll in such a program as law, you must believe that there's some inadequacies that you want to turn around. You must believe that there is some challenges that African Americans have that you want to overhaul. If you don't, then you're doing our race a disservice by stepping into the arena thinking you are going to incarcerate all of the people of color and turn your head the other way and thinking you are giving them liberty. Most people would say, give me liberty or give me death. But today, we're going to say this day that every African-American that steps to this mic is going to have some commitment and obligation to making sure that the walls of that fabric is torn down where racism may be perpetuated continually in the courtrooms where blacks do not get a fair share. We're going to ask them to be an advocate, to speak out against those things, to rise up and make a change. Yes, they have a license that they fear that someone could take away. But if you have a license that you fear someone could take away for doing the right thing, then you might as well step out of the profession because you cannot be used by God. And the real reason for coming into the arena of law is to develop real justice and law and order and not to perpetuate the heresy that's currently going on. Because it's going on in the courtroom, whether we choose to believe it or not. And I know we've got to work our way through these institutions, and we've got to get along, and we've got to get those grades, and sometimes we have to grit and bear it, but we also have to tell the truth. If there's something seriously stinking in the pot, and if there's some death in the pot of stew, we've got to point it out. We can't continue to eat and drink from the well of poison. We have to indicate that something's not right in the system. No one can be wrong all the time. So we're going to have to get with these lawsuits and give them, make them a deal they can't refuse, that they have to make themselves available to low-income people so they can access the letter of the law. If not, we're going to develop ourselves and develop our skills so we can sharpen our tools to become pro-se Canada, because the law is available for you people, and you have to learn to use it, and you have to understand you have a right to it, whether you can afford a lawyer or not. And they'll tell you if you cannot afford a lawyer, we will appoint you one. In most cases, you'll say, do not appoint me a lawyer. If need be, our families will come together, and we will finance the lawyer, or I will act as a pro se candidate. Because when you allow someone to appoint you a lawyer, usually that lawyer is never neutral. He's working on the side of the DA. So you not only have one opponent against you, but you also have the assigned lawyer who is not working for you. He's working with the state. Those things we have to know. That's why we're going to bring about the course called Street Law, That's why we're going to open it up to everyone that wants to take it, so that they can get the basic understanding of how law works. Without it, people, you are destined to fall into these pit holes that they have carved for us. If you do not know what laws are against you, you are not innocent by virtue of ignorance. You are innocent because they have to prove you guilty first. But it's just the other way around when you go in the courtroom. Now let's talk about it. I brought up the question about how are women treated in the arena of law school. Are they guided and directed to specific areas of law? And are they looked to master and specialize in certain areas of law because of the male-dominated profession? Now, what about the internships? Are they given the exposure to practice trial law? Are they given the opportunity to prepare them for law? Now, here's what I have been seeing as a paralegal. And in my lifetime, you might say that you can't see very much in my short few years. However, I'm giving it to you from the hip. Here's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I've seen much partiality into these boardrooms, and I have had the pleasure of working in corporate settings in the area of a paralegal. I have seen much partiality, and I have heard much racial discussion. However, nevertheless, when the males are running the show, most of the time you are told what the status quo should be and how you are to conduct yourself. Many times things could have been done different for women and more opportunities, but we've had to double prove that we're capable. We've had to work much harder as well as smarter. So I'm saying to you women who are getting into the arena of law, there is a lot of money that's spent to obtain these credentials, somewhere to the tune of $100,000 and $150,000 for law school to complete that job. So that is quite a bit of money, you say, Omi. So all to obtain a job that pays you a fraction of that amount. So why not graduate and create micro centers that will work with lower socioeconomic people and make law available in every community? It is my goal to see these law students graduate and create micro centers in every African American community so that law is plentiful and it is available. As long as it remains out of sight and unapproachable, the rates will continue to rise. When something becomes more common, the rate eventually goes down. Then the cost of the service is made available to everyone to access. So why are so many people going to court without representation? It's because they go there and they wait for the judge to appoint them a judge, appoint them a lawyer who works with them. They don't know this, and neither will they tell you this, because you're not supposed to know. So then, is that their problem? It's your problem, because ignorance is no excuse for the law. That is why I'm asking you to become readers in this room, so you can read more, have more of an understanding, understand what laws are applicable to you, understand what laws you can read and study, and understand that you can represent yourself in a court of law. You do not have to take an appointed attorney. Now, there are many lawyers out there now who are saying, I want to get out and help the poor. But usually once they get out, money is a precedence, and it makes a difference when they're offered tons of money to take positions. They forget about the little man and the poor communities. They forget about the commitment they made for the pro bono work. We mustn't forget about the pro bono work. Students who are in law, you mustn't forget, primarily because when you see the devastated work that needs to be done, Like I saw at the NAACP, there was tons of work that needed to be done, and I rolled up my sleeve for 3 years, and I didn't stop until I looked up and I had volunteered for 3 years in giving my service. I'm saying to you lawyers, wherever you are in law school, make a commitment to come back to the lower socioeconomic areas and give your pro bono hours and your services, because it's certainly needed. Many people have donated so that you can have funds to go to school. Now, I like to say during this Black History Month, we like to lift every voice and sing, and we like to make sure that we are singing the song because people died and left this earth so that we could have Black History Month. So why don't you lift your voices with me, and we will go right into Lift Every Voice and Sing, and understand that we do have rituals and tradition. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmony of liberty. Till our rejoicing rise high as the listening sky, let us march on to victory is won. Sing a song full of the hope that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of a new day, let us march on till victory is won. Don't heed the road we trod, bitter the chastening was, born in a day when hope unborn we see, yet with a steady beat, have not our we see, come to the place, oh, which our Father's Now, ladies and gentlemen, that song is a liberating song that has been done throughout history. And whenever it's done, we stand to our feet and we say, Zuwate, Zuwate, Harambe, let us pull together. And that is the opportunity to pull together. And we have many patriotic songs. We have many patriotic songs like Oh Beautiful. Oh beautiful. Oh, amber waves, oh, amber waves of grain, oh, purple mountains, majesty above the fugitive America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and he crowned thy good with brother, with brotherhood. Well, patriotic sons are meant for this time, ladies and gentlemen, and you are to be doing them throughout the course of this celebration. And we are in a celebration, and we thank God for the opportunity to call on Oladulama Ray and to lift up our glasses and pour libations to Oladulama Ray, to our mother spirit and to our father spirit, as we bring about ritual pouring libation to the east and then to the west and then to the north and south. Our rituals are what keep us alive. Our rituals are what pulls us together for celebration. And in our celebration, we create rituals, we create garments, we create festivity so that we have a reason for celebration and for marketing our wares. This is where we begin to create cooperative economics. And in our cooperative economics, we can advance ourselves through our financial ability to pull together, like Harambe said. Let's pull together. And as we pull together, we create celebration and festivity, bringing and inviting all races of people in, because Oladulama Ray will heal our broken hearts, each and every one of us from every race and from every culture. We invite all denominations into our celebration, and upon the 28th, we will have a celebration in this room as we go out with duality and showing how mothers and fathers should behave and come together with their plan and develop a plan for the nation. We ought to be connecting ourselves to Mother Africa to go back and to develop that land and to help make that area prosperous as we make America prosperous. We have made America a rich country. Now it's time for us to make Mother Africa a rich country. And if you are available, make yourself available by taking your wares and your goods and recreating them and selling them online, making yourself more valuable, making yourself more of a presence on the Internet. Opportunities await you. All you need to do is make one step, and opportunity will make two steps towards you. And this is the time of the season that we should be looking at celebrating and bringing our wares together, not just during Black History Month, but throughout the year. And as we embark upon the National Women's Month, we will be talking about much entrepreneurism, much developing ourselves as specialists. We are agents. We are free will agents, and we ought to understand that we do not have to wait for someone to come and make us employable. We must employ ourselves. Mothers, you must employ your children. Make a way to incorporate your name and your company's name so that your children can work for you and you are able to get the write-off and you can develop corporations right in your home. It's very important that we should be looking at this now as we get older in age and find that it's more difficult than ever before to find employment. The lawyers are even finding it difficult now to find employment because people cannot afford the fees. They are looking at more so hiring the paralegals. And as they hire the paralegals, it's more cost effective to get the work out of a paralegal at less of a cost. So why not create from your own sources? Because what we are saying about these young lawyers who are in school, that their costs will no longer be needed. They're going to have to bring their costs down, and we are going to have to practice being a pro se person and exercising the laws and reading more. So we make this room available to you. We offer you opportunities to take classes, and we will have those classes posted hopefully by the end of next month so you can enroll in those classes. One of the classes we are going to try to make available, if not online, somewhere in the diaspora, and that is the street law course, so that every family should have a street law book. I am pushing for you to have that book and come online with your book and learn about the laws and the basic laws so when you go in the courtroom, you're not dumbfounded and you can help your children and you can speak out against injustice and you can lobby and write letters to your congressmen when things are not done fairly. You must understand that I too had to learn these things. But once I learned, you do not step away from any appeal. Every chance and every opportunity to appeal a decision is a great opportunity for another chance. You must learn that going through the system, you must not go through with blinders on. Take all of your opportunities and utilize them to the utmost and appeal every decision, because you can go all the way to Supreme Court to appeal even in your medical decisions on your disability. As I worked in the area feverishly of disability law to help people to obtain what was rightfully theirs, they were instructed to go all the way through every appeal. And it's very important that we understand that lawyers who practice disability law, they are covering all areas of the medical field and appealing cases for people and hoping and wishing that every entity will be turned over for you, because your livelihood is based on it. It's very important, people, that we understand that most law was practiced in basements. It started out that way. And most of the lawyers did not always have it this good to attend universities. They went in schoolhouses and learned law. The bulk of the law that I learned was in a lawyer's office after getting out of paralegal school and through trial and error, going back to school, taking this medical course and that medical course to help lawyers understand medical malpractice and to help them to get their cases through. So it's very important that we understand, as pro se, we can represent ourselves. We're not a member of the bar, but we can fight on our behalf. And we can understand that the law has been made available to us. You first must learn to read adequately enough in order to understand it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that during the course of this whole agenda, we are going to bring in women not only in the area of law, but women that are in other aspects of textile. One of my most favorite guests who will be coming on talking about textile, creating notions and threads and yarn and organic cotton, so that we can be able to tell the cotton picking truth about